Okay, y'all don't have to get that quiet.
Okay? That gets me nervous whenever Baptists get that quiet. Amen? Everybody glad to be here today?
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm certainly glad to be here today, and I'm just thankful God let me wake up and see another day. Amen?
Amen.
You know, that's a blessing we don't count for, and that we don't. We take for granted a lot of times just the fact that we get up every morning and are able to get about and move about. I got a little story I want to tell you before I start off, okay? I'm going to follow up with the one I had last week, okay? This preacher now, he wanted to get a point across about his sermon. You know, preachers always like to get a point across about their sermon, right? So he said, well, I'm going to use an illustration. I'm going to use an illustration. So he said, I'm going to show you something about worms here, and I want you to tie it into what you learned today in the message. So he had four containers. In one container, he said, now what I'm fixing to do is I'm going to put these worms in here, and we're going to see what happens to them at the end. So in the first container, he poured some whiskey in it, and he dropped a worm in it. The next container, he smoked a big cigarette and just blew all the smoke into the jar and put the worm in it, closed the jar. And in the third container, he poured a bunch of chocolate in there and put the worm in it. The fourth container, he had some nice, good, fresh earth, and he put the worm in it and closed the jar. Now, at the end of the service, he went back and he said, now, I want somebody to raise their hand and tell me what you learned from this service today. He undid the first jar in the whiskey, worm was dead. He opened up the second jar in the cigarette smoke, the worm was dead. He opened up the third jar with all the chocolate, the worm was dead. He opened up the fourth jar, the worm was healthy, fine, moving around, nothing wrong with it. Lady in the back raises her hands. He said, yes, sister, tell me what you learned today. She said, well, I learned that if I drink whiskey, smoke cigarettes, and eat chocolate, I won't get worms. Amen. She kind of understood what he was trying to say. So I just thought I'd share that with y'all this morning. I found that one, but you know, that might not be the best way to approach things in life. I don't know, but hey, you know, it's good to laugh, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, I love laughing, and I try not to laugh at people, I try to laugh with them, amen? That's what my goal is anyway. Guys, I want to talk to us this morning about something that I think we all struggle with from time to time, and that's our faith getting a little weak from time to time. Sometimes our faith will waver a little bit, and I want to talk this morning about some reasons that I think that happens. And I want to talk about some questions I think we need to ask ourselves as to why these things happen to us. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1.
Amen.
Amen. This is some familiar scripture with everybody. I want to ask you this question. Do you feel sometimes that your faith isn't where it needs to be? Anybody feel like that? Anybody, you know, going through a testing of your faith right now? If you are, you understand what I'm talking about. And when we read our scripture in just a minute, you're going to understand this is something that we all face. Your problem is maybe you're wanting to do things your way, and you're getting out of line here with God, and you're wanting to rush things and get things done. But see, God's on His timetable, amen?
Amen.
God is not working on our timetable. He's working on His timetable, and His way is always the best way for us.
Amen.
That's where our faith comes in. It's hard to just put your life in the hands of God who you can't physically see, right? It's difficult to put your trust in someone sometimes that you can't see. But you got to understand, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-being. He always is looking out for our best interest.
Amen.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
He's looking out for your best interest. So sometimes we get a little bit out of whack there, and we think that God has forgotten about us, and God's just not going to answer that prayer, and God's not working in our lives. Yes, He is working. He is working out details. He's working out exactly how He wants your life to be, when He wants it to take this turn, when He wants you to come back this way, when He wants you to go that way. It's all being worked out.
Amen.
But sometimes we just get impatient, don't we? You know, whatever the reason, most of our frustration comes from that misunderstanding of what God's doing in our life at any given time. God is always on time. Amen? God is always on time. We're the ones that get off His time schedule sometimes. But God is always on time. He's going to bring what you need, when you need it, and at the right time you need it.
Amen.
You may say, well, preacher, I needed help 4 months ago. Now, as a result of it, I've lost this, and they repossessed my car and all this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. God's got something better for you.
Amen.
God's going to take care of your needs. He's already promised to do that in the book of Matthew. He's going to take care of your needs. You're not going to have to want for things if you're a child of His and you're putting Him first in your life. You got to have faith and believe what God's Word says. See, that's another big problem here. I don't think a lot of times believers really believe what God's Word says. The Word of God is full of promises to us. And if you'll take the time to read them, you'll understand that God is always on time. He never makes a mistake. His timing is always the best timing for us.
Yes.
Guys, we got to come to an understanding, though, that God's going to test us along the way. I want you to understand that. We're going to see that in our text here in just a minute. He's going to test us along the way because that is how we build the kind of perseverance and endurance that we need to have as a believer in order for God to work through. God's got to have that faith level in us so that He can work through us. If we don't have the right faith level, God's not going to be able to do a lot of great things with us. And through us and around us. So we got to come to that understanding. When our faith is tested, guys, we can do one of two things. We can either patiently wait on God and trust Him that in His time He's going to answer our prayers and deliver us. Or we can try to handle that situation ourselves, and guess what? We will end up making it worse. You know, too many times we try to handle things ourselves, don't we? Oh, I know what to do. I don't need to consult God. I've already got this figured out. Well, you go ahead and think that way if you want to. Because I can tell you right now that God is going to have His plan in your life one way or the other. You can do it the easy way and be obedient to Him and follow Him and have faith that what He's doing is the right thing for you. Or you can do it the hard way and have to have the hand of God's discipline invoked in your life. Guys, I hope you choose the first choice there. Don't push God to the limit. Don't push God to the test. I want to explore this morning some reasons behind why I think our faith wavers. So I'm going to ask you, if you've got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 through 8. I'm going to ask, if you will, stand to your feet in the honor of reading God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad we got God's Word to lean on?
Amen.
Let's look at verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of it. I just pray now, God, that in the next few minutes, Lord, that you'll be glorified in everything that's said here. And that you'll have your will in your way, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to look at some things this morning that I believe are reasons why our faith wavers. Let's look at number one. We trust ourselves and do not put our trust in the Word of God. We trust ourselves and don't put our trust in the Word of God. Guys, God's Word is our roadmap. It's our compass. It is there to give us direction and guidance. When you consult God's Word, it's not going to come back void in your life.
Amen.
It's going to come back with everything you need to have in order to get where God wants you to be. Guys, if we take our eyes off God's Word and begin to try and reason things out ourselves, our faith is going to become unstable. Think back in your life to a time in your life where things were out of control. Things were not going right. It seemed like nothing was going right for you. And ask yourself this question. Did I have my eyes focused on Jesus at that point in time in my life? Because I can just about guarantee you that you did not. Because if you have your eyes focused on Jesus, no matter how your life is spiraling out of control, He's always going to be pulling you in His direction. You're always going to feel His presence. It's when we try to do things ourselves, in and of our own self, that we begin to mess up. Guys, the Bible tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge Him. Guys, you got to understand, God has got your best interest. God has got your back. Amen?
Amen.
God is not going to just throw you out there to the wolves and leave you to get kicked around and beaten down. Yes, you're going to face trials in life. Yes, you're going to have temptations in life. But guess what? You've got somebody that's backing you every step of the way.
Amen.
And that's the good thing that we need to realize and we need to remember. Guys, if our faith is grounded in the Word, we're going to always stand on the truth, and there will be no reason for us to doubt.
Amen.
Number two, we give in to reasoning and not put our trust in God. Guys, we try to reason. We mess things up so much, don't we? People mess their own lives up so bad. If we would just simply trust God with everything. God, here's my life. Take it. Use it for whatever you need me to use it for. Lord, here's my bank account. Use it for your glory. God, here's my vehicle. Let me use it for your glory. God, here's my home. Let me use it for your glory. Instead of trying to reason everything out. Well, I can't do this month because of this. I can't do that because of that. We try to reason ourselves out of what God wants for us. Guys, that's a lack of faith. Trust God that He's going to be who He said He's going to be, and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. If you'll do that, I can promise you this, that He's going to always deliver. Amen? He's going to always deliver. Number three, we have a hard time seeing God at work in our circumstances. We have a hard time seeing God at work in our circumstances sometimes, don't we? If God allows us to remain in a circumstance that we don't particularly like and we don't think is fair, it's because He is molding us for something great.
Amen.
I did a sermon over a year ago about moving out of your Egypt. And the whole purpose of that sermon was, if you remember, when God sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go, he went there with the message. And Pharaoh, of course, hardened his heart as God already had planned for him to do. The people of Israel were getting persecuted. They'd been persecuted for over 400 years. God was finally hearing their cries. God allowed them to remain in bondage for 400 years after they started crying out to Him. But then, guess what? God delivered them. Now, the end of that story is not the best in the world because a lot of them were still not putting their trust in God, and only a select few even got to go into the promised land that God gave them. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're in that circumstance in your life, if you're in that Egypt right now in your life, God is going to deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
God's going to deliver you. He's going to get you out of that. He's going to move you to your promised land. But guess what? You must have faith while it's happening.
Amen.
You've got to have the faith it takes. You can't wake up one day and say, well, God, I've been praying for you to get me out of this job. God, I've been praying for you to get me out of this family situation. God, I've been praying for you to get me out of this or that. What's taking you so long? Trust me, God's getting all the details worked out.
Yep.
He's getting everything worked out for you right then and there. And as soon as He gets it worked out exactly like it has to be, you will leave your Egypt and you will go to your promised land. Amen. And that's what's great about God. Just got to have that faith, guys. We got to continue to believe. Number four. Well, let me back up a second. God's mission, guys, is to shape us into the image of Jesus. That's what His mission is. He wants to shape us into the image of His Son, Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a world where everybody tried to reflect Jesus every day? That'd be great, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be people that were being rude. There wouldn't be people that were being hateful. There wouldn't be people that are running around killing people and doing all this horrendous stuff. You know, but the fact of the matter is, there's not a whole lot of people that try to reflect Jesus every day in their life. But that is what God wants. His mission is to try to shape us by the circumstances in our life, to shape us into the image of Jesus. And once we get that picture, then we're headed in the right direction. Number four, we allow the counseling of negative people to influence us. Guys, instead of listening to negative counsel, we should be focusing on where God wants to take us. Let me tell you something. If God is speaking to you, I want everybody to listen to me now. If God is speaking to you, do not let the negative counsel of someone distract you from what God wants for you. Let me give you a for instance. Let's say God's calling you to do this. You share it with your best friend. Your best friend says, I don't think that's a good idea. You need to rethink this. That means you're going to have to do this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. If God is in it, you ought to be in it. Amen? If God ain't in it, you ought not be in it. But if God is in it, He's going to take you where He wants you to go. He's going to provide all the circumstances. We need people in our lives who believe in us. What God is trying to do in us and through us. Not people who will turn us away from what God's trying to do. You know what? Sometimes it's better to just keep your prayer request between you and God sometimes, really. It really is, because sometimes people will try to convince you that that is not what you need to do. Well, if God says do it, you better be doing it. Amen? Don't listen to negative counsel. Don't listen to people trying to dissuade you from doing what you know God's called you to do. Number five, we're often too busy focusing on the circumstances rather than on God. Guys, God wants to increase our love and devotion to Him, but a lot of times we simply want Him to repair our situation. Let me tell you something. I've had some circumstances in my life. A lot of them have been very, very tragic and have been circumstances that I didn't really understand why I had to go through them. But never once did I get angry at God. Never once did I turn my back on God. Never once did I doubt He was going to do something great through all of it.
Amen.
And that's the way we got to be, guys. You cannot let your circumstances dictate your faith. You know, we all have great faith when everything's going good, don't we? But we don't have as much faith sometimes when someone is in our family dies, or when we lose a job, or when we lose our home or our car, or what. These are the times when your faith is really tested. And you got to believe that God's still out there. God's still with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. But guys, if God is waiting during our circumstances, it's because He is building and strengthening our relationship with Him. If you feel like God is not right there in the front of your life right now, it's because He is building you right now for something great. If you feel like something has been taken out of you, it's because God is wanting to put Himself in you. Amen? He's wanting to get rid of all that junk that's inside you so He can fill you with Him. And until He can do that, He's not going to be able to fill you with Him like He wants to. So don't get caught up in your circumstances. Number six, we don't understand God's ways. I believe that's a big reason why we have a wavering faith. We just don't understand God's ways. We think God ought to work every time we call on Him. We think God ought to deliver us out of a bad situation immediately. But that's not how God works. If you get in God's Word and you read God's Word, you will see sometimes God took a long time to work. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They had to wait 25 years before their son was born. God promised them a son. But He didn't deliver him for 25 years. He let them both get right at 100 years old before He brought that son. And you know part of His reason for that? So that He'd get all the glory.
Amen.
No way could a woman that old have a baby and a man that old be able to take care of a baby. No, that had to be God. So you see, God's got a reason why He does things, guys. We got to understand His ways. If we dive into the Word and develop a better understanding of how God works, we're going to be less likely to react in anger when it seems like God's ignoring us. I can promise you this, guys. God is never ignoring you. God has always got your best interest at heart.
Amen.
You got now. Hey, I'm not going to say we don't ignore Him. You say, well, preacher, I don't ignore God. Well, do you read your Bible every day? Do you pray every day? Do you witness to people when you come in contact with them? When you have an opportunity? If not, you're ignoring Him. You're ignoring what He wants you to do on a daily basis to grow what? Closer to Him. That's what we got to do, guys. That's what we got to do. Now, Number seven. Here's another reason why I believe our faith wavers. We carry regret over present or past sins. Guys, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that great to know? Some people say, well, God can't forgive me. I've done some terrible things in my life. Well, let me tell you something. The only thing He won't forgive you for is not accepting Him as Lord and Savior of your life. That is the only unforgivable sin that there is. He will forgive the worst serial killer. He will forgive that rapist. He will forgive that child molester. He will forgive that abuser of women and children. He'll forgive them all if they call on His name. The only thing He won't forgive is you refusing to invite Him in as Lord and Savior of your life. That's it, guys. So don't use that excuse ever. There's nothing you've done so bad that would make God not love you. Nothing that you've done. Guys, instead of completely trusting God, we sometimes feel guilty of our past and we just don't understand that God's already forgiven us. God's grace has covered us once and for all. Amen?
Amen.
His grace has covered us. We don't need anything else. Now, that's not a ticket to just keep on sinning. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that, hey, if you're a born-again believer, you're not going to continue to sin. You're not going to deliberately continue to sin because the Holy Spirit of God is changing you from the inside out. So don't think that's a meal ticket to, oh, God's already forgiven me for all my past, present, and future sins. Woo, let's go to the club right now. I'm already asked for forgiveness. That's how some people act, right? Any of you ever prayed for forgiveness before you did something? That's not a good thing, is it? Lord, forgive me for this. I promise I won't do it but one more time. I know there's a lot of people that think that way sometimes, right? But guys, God's got your back. Now, I want to quickly go over some things that we need to be asking ourselves as to why our faith wavers and how can we correct that? Let's look at these quickly. Number one, we need to ask ourselves, where are these doubts coming from? Where are these doubts coming from? Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you're currently living in sin, these doubts are going to arise in your life. You must cleanse yourself of any unrighteousness that's inside you right now and move in the direction God wants you to move. If there's any area in your life that is not pleasing God, get rid of it and move toward Him. Number two, will God meet your needs? Absolutely. He'll meet your needs. But here's what we got to understand, guys. We got to learn to distinguish between needs and wants. Sometimes we ask God for things we simply want. And He's not going to necessarily always give us those. But He's going to give us everything we need if we're His child and we're putting Him first. I can promise you that. He's going to give you all that stuff. But you've got to put Him in the right place in your life. Here's the triangle in our life. God's at the top, family next, and everything else comes below that. You can figure out how to divide the rest of it up. But God, family, everything else, you need to remember that in your life if you want to live a healthy, prosperous life, and one moving in the direction God wants you to move in.
Amen.
Number three, will God be with us always? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God's going to always be with you. Number four, have you come to a fork in the road in your life? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm asking you right now, are you at a point in your life where you're at this decision point? I've either got to go down this path and be what God wants me to be, or I'm going to continue to go down this path and do what I've always done. Guys, if you're at that fork in your life, you need to be making a decision. Am I going to follow you, Jesus, all in? Or am I only going to be sitting on the fence, straddling the fence the rest of my life? Guys, you got to be all in for Him. If you're at that fork in the road, it's because you're probably not living in the Word of God. You're not sure about what you need to do and what you want to do. You know why? Because you're not strengthening yourself daily in God's Word. Number five, did God not give you the greatest gift of all? He's given all of us as believers the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. That is our guide. That is our compass. That is our conscience, if you want to refer to Him as that. That is that small voice you hear inside your ear saying, hey, I want you to do this. I'm ready to move you in a different direction. I don't want you to keep going the same way you've been going. So we hear that voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit of God talking to us. He will give us power and a sense of security through the Holy Spirit. You ever had that time in your life where you just felt like everything was so terrible, but you felt the peace? It didn't make sense, did it? How can you find peace when your world's falling apart around you? That's the Holy Spirit of God comforting you because He knows you need it. He didn't say He's going to take the circumstance away from you, but He promised to never leave you and never forsake you. That's why you have that peace in your heart. That peace that transcends all understanding in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Guys, did God not give you that greatest gift? He's given it to everybody that's a born-again believer. Guys, I want to, in closing today, say this. We got to have faith that God is doing the right thing in our lives at any given time. God's not going to make a mistake in your life. You might make some mistakes in getting where God wants you to be, but He's not going to make any mistakes. Amen? He is not going to make a mistake in your life. Even if things are going really bad, God is always up to something good.
Amen.
The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, "For all things work together for the good to those who are the called according to His purpose." In other words, no matter how bad your life can get, no matter how many bad trials and things you face, God's going to work something good out of them. I don't know about you, but that gives me comfort. Because I've seen it in my... How many of you have seen God do that in your life? Took a bad circumstance and worked something good out of it.
Amen.
Give a praise to God. Amen.
Amen.
God's working in your life. He's going to continue to work in your life. God's always up to something good. Don't let your lack of faith keep you from attaining the very best that God has in store for you. Don't let a lack of faith keep you from getting all that God wants you to get and all that God wants you to be. You know, I love it when I hear people tell me, you know what? I'm making some changes. You know what? God's talking to me. God's communicating to me. Amen. I love it when I hear people tell me that because you're getting it. You're getting what God's trying to do. He's been trying to do it all along, but sometimes it takes the circumstances in our life to get us where we can focus on what He's wanting. And when you get to that point, you feel good, don't you? You feel a peace, don't you? You feel like shouting, don't you?
Amen, amen.
I'm telling you, if you've not experienced that peace, you're outside the will of God right now.
Amen.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. If you have not felt that peace in your life, you are living outside the will of God right now. You got to get back inside His will. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you're living outside His will right now. But the minute you get back in, you will feel that peace. You will know you made the right decision. It doesn't matter what the world tries to tell you. It doesn't matter if people try to tell you that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You listen to the voice of God in your life. Don't listen to anybody else. Because that's the voice that's going to move you in the right direction. And always remember this, guys. If God ain't in it, you shouldn't be either. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank You for this day. Thank You for everything You've given us, Lord. Thank You for faith that You have imparted on us and the ability to have that faith. And God, You tell us in Your Word, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. What You're telling us in that, God, is this. It doesn't take a lot of faith to please You, God. We just got to have it. We got to believe in it. God, I pray if there's anybody in this room right now today that is wavering in their faith, I pray they may come up to this altar right now and pray, God, for You to redirect their life, to strengthen them, to move them in the direction You want them to go, and to not listen to what anyone is trying to convince them otherwise of, but to move where You want them to be. And God, we're going to give You the praise ahead of time, and we're going to thank You for that. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs to accept You as their Savior for the first time, I just pray, God, they'll come down this aisle and do it today, Lord. But I don't want them to do it because they were threatened into it or because somebody tried to scare them into it. I want them to do it because You're touching their heart right now, Father. And God, we're just going to give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
Hymn 429.
Hymn number 429. Let's stand and sing. The altar's open here this morning. 429.